Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Cody will be back on Thursday with us. You got another day today and tomorrow with Drew and I. A little bit later on in the show, Nate Taylor going to join us in studio, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Plenty to get into with him. Looking forward to that. We'll also get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour here in about 25 minutes. You guys can keep chiming in on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, as always, 913-586-7965. Someone during the break was texting in about the college football discussion we were having in the last segment and just where things are at with the college football playoff. And they said, do you guys know the rules?
Oh.
Do you guys know the rules? The top five conference champions get the auto, the top five conference champions do not get the auto bid. There's currently two now, Power Five's ranked higher. The Big 12 does now get an auto bid. There's not five power conferences anymore. That's the point.
The Pac-12 is no longer
Power five. That's why you're right. There's not a specific language that says group of five gets playoff bid. That is true. You're right. It doesn't say that, but it is the five highest ranked conference champions. And when there's not five Power Five conferences, we can all just do some simple math and realize that there's four Power Fives, and therefore there's one non-Power Five, meaning the group of five is going to get a team in, and the winner of UNLV Boise State is automatically getting in the college
football
playoff.
Because those are the two highest ranked group of five teams.
That's all we're saying.
Yep.
That's it. We'll get back to college football a little bit later on in the show. All right. I want to talk about the MVP race right now in the NFL a little bit. And yeah, unfortunately, this year we're not talking about Patrick Mahomes being really involved in this race. I think it's been done for a while. If you listen to my betting show, that betting show on Wednesday nights, be back this Wednesday, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Since week one, I said I didn't think this was a good year to bet on Patrick Mahomes to win MVP. The MVP market for me this year, Josh Allen was the bet. You can go back and listen to the podcast. Week one, Josh Allen 8-1 was a preseason bet that I had to win MVP. I obviously feel good where that is trending right now. He's minus 280 to win it at FanDuel. Saquon Barkley 5-1. Lamar is falling back to 8.5-1. And then there's a huge gap. Mahomes 15-1. Jared Goff 15-1. It's a two-horse race. Maybe Lamar can get back in. I still think we have found out over time and time again that to win MVP, you have to win your division. And right now, it doesn't look like Lamar Jackson is going to win his division, right? That's the challenge that you have for Lamar. So Josh Allen, before Sunday Night Football, I mean, everybody on social media and stuff were trying to say Barkley has to win it now. Saquon has to win it. And Saquon has been incredible. He's pacing to break the single season rushing record. And I think that is key. He's also accomplished a feat through 12 games that only Jim Brown has achieved, which of course puts you in ridiculous company. He's the first running back since Jim Brown in 1963 to have 1,475 or more yards rushing and 10 or more rushing touchdowns while also averaging 6 yards a carry through the first 12 games in the league. That season, if you're wondering, Jim Brown finished second in MVP. He had 1,800 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns, and he led the league in both categories. Right now, in 2024, I think it just takes a lot more for Barkley to win. This is my issue with just blindly saying Saquon can win it. There's a difference between looking at like what's going to win you your bet and what do you think should happen. Those are two different things. This is not an anti-Saquon Barkley take. He, I think, and Josh Allen clearly have been the two most valuable players to their teams in football this year. They just have. Look at the one offseason acquisition really the Eagles made was what? Other than finding a new offense and defensive coordinator. Those were huge, too. But there's not a defensive coordinator of the year award that I know of. I think they give an assistant coach of the year or something. But
It would be cool if they did coordinators, I guess, aside.
I think there's an assistant coach. I think they added assistant coach of the year as a thing now.
Both sides of the ball or just simply?
I think in general. Just in general. Yeah, both sides of the ball total, combined, I should say. Saquon's been the most valuable player to the Eagles. Not even close. He has been sensational. He is why they are playing the kind of football they're playing. But typically we know that other than in, 2012 and one other time or whatever, and we're in a different era, running backs just don't win MVP. It's become the best quarterback on the best team, basically. Who's playing the best football at their position and is also on the best team in their conference or in the league? That's why Josh Allen's the favorite right now. He also had narrative on his side. That's a huge part of this. This is an award voted on by humans, by voters. And there's voter fatigue. It's a real thing. It's why Lamar Jackson, his path to winning was much tougher. His odds just fell drastically. And there's 5 weeks to go. The market is going to shift again. I think this is Josh Allen's award to lose, though. And it definitely was helped by Sunday Night Football. And anytime you play in primetime slots, it helps you with your MVP case. The dude caught his own pass, in the stat sheet at least. He had a passing and receiving touchdown on one play, the lateral. Amari Cooper lateraled it back, and he caught it. It doesn't go as a – this is weird. It doesn't go as a reception, but it goes as a touchdown reception. I know you're like, what are you talking about? That's how they rule it. It's a passing touchdown
to himself
and a touchdown reception, but not a reception.
So he passed it to himself, essentially.
Mm-hmm. That's how they rule it officially. So you got two touchdowns. If you're playing fantasy football, you love that play for Josh Allen. Mm. Josh Allen's having, other than maybe 2020, the best season of his career. They're leading their division. They're in contention, of course, with the Chiefs for the number one seed. To me, this is his award to lose. The only way Barkley, I think, can win this because of the running back bias that exists or quarterback bias that exists is if he breaks the single season rushing record. That's the narrow margin he has to have. I'm not telling you Barkley can't win it, but I think for him to win it, he had just to have a real chance, he has to break the rushing record to overcome what exists right now in the awards market in the NFL, which is everybody just wants to vote the MVP as a quarterback every single year because it's 2024 and it's the era we live in the NFL. It's a pass happy league. That's what has to happen for Barkley to win, in my opinion.
It's very disappointing in a way, but I think also even if you, because I guess if you really want to look at what the MVP is, most valuable player, would the Eagles be as good as they are without Saquon Barkley? Probably not. Would the Bills be as good as they are without Josh Allen? Definitely not. So, I that's where I think when you're looking at the value, most important position in sports and all that other stuff, quarterback is considered that. It's hard for your quote-unquote value to be higher than that of a quarterback who's having a really good season, even if you are breaking records. So I think it makes some sense in regards to the value category. In particular, I guess with this case, but it's not like Saquon Barkley's not. It's not like the Eagles. It's not like the Eagles wouldn't be as good as they are without Saquon Barkley because he's been sensational. The ball is just in the quarterback's hands. I'm trying to make a case for Saquon, and it's very difficult without, to your point, Gold, of saying he breaks the rushing. He breaks the single season rushing record because there's. It's like the Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter thing. Like he isn't going to break. He is not going to break Barry Sanders' record now in terms of rushing yards. He's not going to win. He has no shot at winning the Heisman because Travis Hunter does more.
Yeah, Travis Hunter's going to end up winning it.
Jeanty, both positions.
I still think there's a case for Jeanty, but in this
I think there is too, but
in this given year,
he isn't winning.
Yeah, but to your going back to the NFL, and you know, someone on the text line brings up Barkley, and this will be the narrative that'll be used against him and why everything usually favors the quarterback. If he does break the record, and he's already having one of the best 12-game starts in NFL history, and he's trying to be the first running back to win MVP since Adrian Peterson did it in 2012, and the league's even more quarterback-driven and pass-happy than it was in 2012, people will use the amount of games against him. They're going to say, hey, in 2024, we now have 18 weeks and 17 games, and people say, hey, that Dickerson record was, 14 games, I guess, at that point in time, the NFL? And I think that's a fair point, and that'll be used against Barkley. That's all I'm saying is it's an uphill battle still for Barkley, and he has been incredible. And the Eagles are nowhere near where they're at without him. But also, of course, Josh Allen, the Bills are nowhere where they're at right now without Josh Allen. So it's just a really tough argument to make. And that's why last year when we were discussing this with Christian McCaffrey. Now, Christian McCaffrey didn't win it And he wasn't having, as great as the year was, it wasn't anywhere near the year Barkley's having, though. And that's why Barkley has a legit chance to win it. McCaffrey was never winning MVP last year. He wasn't. He wasn't. He had 1,500 yards from scrimmage, which was great. We're talking about Barkley having over 2,000 rushing yards this year. That's what we're discussing. On an Eagles team that's going to win their division, that, depending on what happens with the Lions, the Eagles could end up still as the number one seed, when it, possibly, in the NFC. And I think that matters, too. And so Barkley's having a better year than a year ago, McCaffrey. If Barkley can't win it this year, then it just tells us we have to change the award setup. Let's just have the MVP. Let's call it the best quarterback award, which is what it is. Let's just call it like it is, the best quarterback in football award. And let's call the offensive player of the year what it is anyway, which is the best non-quarterback of the year. That's all these awards are. MVP is the most valuable quarterback.
Yep.
And the offensive player of the year has become the best non-quarterback in football. That's what it is. So let's just start calling it that.
Well, I think that's why, honestly, like college football, they obviously have the Heisman Trophy, but they have best quarterback, best DB. Like, it is ironic. Travis Hunter's going to win the Heisman, but he's not even on the list for the Jim Thorpe Award, which is the best defensive back, or in line for like the best, the Biletnikoff, the best wide receiver award. So it is interesting there, but why not do a, like, name it the, I don't know, Tom Brady Award, but, you know, name the quarterback award something. Name it the Eric Dickerson Award for the best running back, and you just go by position.
We don't need to have the best running back. It just needs to be best non-quarterback then, because wide receivers should have the ability to win. Again,
you don't want more than one. You don't want, like, position trophies. All you want is, like, the best quarterback, and then go keep the offensive player of the year.
We don't need to hand out participation trophies. We don't need to be doing that.
Okay.
I'm just saying the MVP award has become a quarterback-only award, so let's just call it like it is. The MVP is the best quarterback, which, if you want to name it something different, go for it. And then the offensive player of the year is the best non-offensive player, not non-quarterback in football. So it can be wide receiver, it can be running back. Hell, it could be a tight end and never will be, but it could be a running back or wide receiver. I don't care. That's basically what it is anyway, Drew. We just try to pretend like a non-quarterback has any chance to win this. Barkley will have the best chance since Adrian Peterson to win MVP. But with what Josh Allen is doing, unless they fall off a cliff, it's going to be really, really tough. I don't trust voters. It's why I won't bet on Barkley to win it. I know, like, it's been a huge conversation in the betting community, if you will, about this. I wouldn't put money on it because I don't believe voters will give it to a non-running back, a non-quarterback.
I think it would be, it's almost easier to vote for MVP now in some way, because you're eliminating like every position group besides one. You just have to pick the quarterback you think would go, where if you did offensive player of the year, like right now, Saquon is in the conversation. I would say he is, but also you have Derrick Henry, you have Jamar Chase. Even though the Bengals stink, Jamar Chase is putting up a ridiculous season, like a triple crown season.
Yeah.
Those are probably the three in that conversation. You know, it gives you more positional rotation, I guess, with the offensive player of the year award and the defensive one. It makes it tougher to bet on, too, but it's more fun to have it that way.
Yeah, look, Barkley's making this a fun conversation because of what he's doing, you know.
He's getting moves added on Madden and everything like that, too.
On FanDuel again, Barkley 5-1 to win it, Josh Allen minus 280 right now in the MVP markets. All right, we'll get to Trash of the Day here in about 6 minutes or so on Cody and Gold, but there was I found a hilarious tweet to remind us that sometimes, and I guess we can all be guilty of this, but this was the extreme example of revisionist history. And something that happened even, you know, 7 years ago sometimes feels like 30 years ago. But how soon we forget, and by we, I mean Patriots fans in this circumstance. There was a tweet from a sports talk host in New England over the weekend, holiday weekend. I'll just read you the tweet. Quote, "At least when the Patriots were wrecking people, they were likable. This Chiefs team is so hateable, and so were the ones prior. It's been made even worse by the refs starting to get on their knees. It's honestly not even a conversation." That's a real tweet from someone named Kendra Middleton.
Get on she their is knees? A, That's crazy.
A host over looks at 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. That is such revisionist history. It's laughable, legit laughable, to suggest that when the Patriots were rattling off all these rings and Tommy was out there with Bill Belichick and Gronk, and that everybody just loved them. Give me a break. That is not how
Tommy.
This world was towards the Patriots. Look, I'm not also naive to think that that everybody loved the Chiefs outside of Kansas City. No, I think you can make an argument they are actually more likable than the Patriots to begin with. But let's not act like the Patriots were so likable when they were winning. And in sports history, whoever is the dominant team of that era, whether it was the Warriors in the NBA, the Patriots, of course, as we're talking about in the NFL, or right now with the Chiefs, none of them were really likable because everybody hated them for winning. We don't need to try to revise history and act like everybody loved Tom Brady in the time they were cheating and all this crap. Give me a break. That was hilarious over the weekend. Like, Clueless. Wake up. What world were you living in?
Well, as you said, they're in Boston, so they have that. In Boston, they have that.
I got you.
I mean, look. Okay, so for me, I guess.
Give me a break.
My personal opinions. I'm born and raised in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. There is no fan base that hates the Patriots more, I think, than the Indianapolis Colts. I don't even think Patriots fans hate the Colts like that. The Colts hate the New England. My mom, this weekend, the Colts beat the Patriots. My mom was like, thank goodness we could beat Drake May and the Patriots. She can't stand them, even though Brady's gone and Belichick is gone. It is interesting that you try to claim that, to your point, there's the Dodgers are not likable right now. There's nobody.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are. We're never going to look back and say, "Oh yeah, everybody loved the Dodgers at least more than you know." The Yankees, I think, maybe actually is a fair point. But you don't. There are certain franchises that you do not like, and particularly they're the ones that win a lot of games.
Of course.
And then you add in the East Coast bias thing as well. Patriots, East Coast bias. No way that they were more likable than the Chiefs.
It's not even like. It's not even that, like, who is more likable. It's the fact, like, trying to act like the Patriots were likable, period. Like, this...
Yeah.
Like, people can debate nationally, like, in other markets and not in Kansas City, like, who they think out of the five teams we can mention are more likable. I don't know the answer to that. I do think the Chiefs have traits that make them likable. I think Patrick Mahomes is a likable athlete. I think having Taylor Swift attached to the franchise makes them likable for a lot of people. But to act as if, you know, Spygate and Tuck Rule and Deflategate and, you know, Aaron Hernandez, given the baggage that he has presented himself when he was alive, that did not make them likable. Give me a break. At all. And certainly not post what we now know. So that's hilarious. That was a funny, funny tweet over the weekend from a sports radio host in Boston.
It's one of those things, man, where it's like, I don't know what another good example of it would be, other than, I guess, you know, people are hating the Dodgers now, but like the Yankees.
It's any team that's won and had a dynasty, Drew. The Warriors, people at the end hated them. You know, people hate when LeBron was winning with Miami Heat, people ended up hating him. It's a big reason why people started to hate LeBron. There's a ton of other reasons now why people claim to not like him, but that was the start of it. If you win a lot in sports, people will dislike you. And that's why it's hilarious to suggest that Tom Brady and the Patriots, who had, you know, Brady himself has more rings than any other quarterback in NFL history, as if he was the most likable person. I would argue Brady's more likable post-playing career. Why do you think that is?
100%.
Because he's not beating your ass like all the time, right? Like, that's what it is. Anyway, let's get to the trash of the day. This one takes us to Mississippi. Takes us to Mississippi, where a Mississippi teacher is out of a job. Why? Inadvertently feeding dog treats to students during a class celebration. This is according to a report by WTVA, a local ABC affiliate in the area. The now former Calhoun City High School employee, whose name was not released, allegedly mistook the treats for beef jerky. At least 8 children consumed at least 1 bite of the treats. This happened last week.
Did they get sick?
According to the district superintendent, they applauded the school nurse for her swift response. The incident had 1 child taken to the doctor with a stomach ache. The incident reportedly transpired during what it was intended as a birthday celebration for a few of the students. So it sounds like it truly was an accident. There wasn't some criminal, and you know, there wasn't some bad intent here. But the fact that you didn't know the beef jerky was actually dog treats. How did they, like... Did she buy them and truly think it was beef jerky and brought them in? Like, I'm just confused. At home, did she have a bag of beef jerky next to the bag of the dog treats and they look similar and she brought them in? Like, how did she not know?
I've got another question, too.
How old was this teacher?
I've got another question. You're celebrating a birthday by having beef jerky? What the heck's wrong with you? These are kids. You don't have beef jerky to celebrate a birthday.
Well, that's
like, get some cupcakes or something.
Beef jerky's not bad, but you're right. That's not a typical.
You're not celebrating.
This was high school, not elementary school.
Still.
But yeah, you're right. Some birthday celebration, I'm going to bring in a bunch of beef jerky for my students. Unless you were making your own beef jerky, but if you were making your own, then you would have known these weren't.
Or unless
dog
they, I guess, suggested or requested beef jerky. But yeah, I would guess the bag maybe. But if you went to the store, obviously you would recognize that you're in the pet aisle, I would assume, in the dog aisle or whatever.
I mean, I'm looking at a photo of it, and it doesn't look like a normal dog treat. It definitely has, but you still, it doesn't also look like normal beef jerky.
And you're not getting it from the same aisle.
No, someone on the text line says, the package says pepperoni. It's for the dogs.
that might have been where she mistook it right there.
Yeah.
She mistook that.
Someone did say, though, that a friend of mine, they're going to be fine. A friend of mine used to eat peanut butter dog biscuits as a snack.
I was going to say, have you ever had a dog treat before?
No.
I've had a dog treat before, and I think I turned out okay.
Yeah, like the text line also said, if she would have given the kids dog cookies from a dog bakery, that would have been hilarious, and that would have been a little more understandable. Because some of those dog cookies, man, that I give my dog, those things look good. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's some that are like now, like they have the Chiefs design on them, and they're like, they look legit. This did not look like a cookie or anything. I don't know. They claim the teacher did it by accident. I just don't know if I buy that.
I just say, okay, so is it, hold on. If it really was by accident, is it a fireable
yeah.
offense? If it's an accident when it's a dog treat, they might get mm-hmm. sick, but they'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little skeptical that it was fully an accident.
It's like almost, yeah.
Someone else says, I'm not surprised. It's Mississippi. They're last in education. Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Jeez.
That's from the text line, Drew. I'm just reading the text.
I know.
You know? Someone says, believe it or not. Here we go. Believe it or not, I have a ton of family in and around Calhoun City. Big hog country. Beef jerky is a staple down there, so this checks out. But then shouldn't they know a lot about their beef jerky? Like, it checks out.
Correct.
But shouldn't they be knowledgeable about the beef jerky then?
You would know what is dog beef jerky, a dog treat beef jerky, and what's not.
I'm thinking.
Someone said, Drew, you didn't turn out fine. You turned out to be a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
I was a Bengals fan before that, actually. So before I ate a dog treat before, a dog biscuit.
Someone says, Drew, your team is dog bleep.
Oh, settle down, man.
That's true.
4-8, and you guys are still worried about him?
Well, they're not worried. They're worried for your well-being.
I appreciate you.
That's all it is, I think.
I appreciate you.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, what Chris Jones had to say about the way the Chiefs' schedule has turned out. I think he has a point, but I don't know if anybody's going to feel bad for him. I'll explain that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs' Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up later on today, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join me in studio. And we'll discuss with him some of the things we're going to get to here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But also some broader discussions about the rest of the AFC. Coming up here in about 8 minutes or so, we'll get to the biggest concern, offense, defense. Something we touched on in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday, but I don't want to dive deeper into that. But Chris Jones, after the game on Friday... I didn't catch this because the way they break it down after the game is over, there's the locker room availability, and then they send a couple players to the podium. And so I usually go to the locker room, and that's an ability where you can get, you know, more player access and have a chance to have some other conversations. Then there's the podium, and Mahomes always goes to the podium, right? Andy Reid always goes to the podium, and they bring one other player. In this case, Chris Jones was there. So I did not hear Chris Jones's post-game comments. Then I saw this come across the timeline. Drew, you pointed this out to me as well. You saw it floating around social media. And I thought it was interesting what Chris Jones had to say about where the schedule is lined up for the Chiefs going forward and the fact that this team had a bye in week 6. Meanwhile, you've got teams like Buffalo and Houston that are having byes in week 14. It's a huge advantage to that if you can get to week 14. Listen to what Chris Jones had to say about the way the late season bye has not happened for them.
One thing I'm doing this offseason is going to the NFLPA, especially with us having like 3 games in a 10-day span, that we're mandatory to have a late bye week. You know what I mean? Because with our schedule, it's kind of awkward, to say the least. We play 3 games in 10 days. Then we got a Christmas game coming up. 4 days after that, we got another game. You know what I mean? So I think that's a conversation to be had this offseason. If a team have somewhat of a schedule like that, that they have a mandatory late season bye. Like, we don't need a week for a bye. Like, what are we getting the bye for? You know what I mean? Then if you are counting how far we go in the previous season, we go into the championship in the last 3 to 4 years, it's like, we don't need a week for a bye. Give it to us in week 8 or week 10, something like that.
So I think he's 100% correct, but nobody outside of Kansas City is going to feel bad for them. Like the last point he made about, hey, we've been playing more games than everybody else. Fact, I don't think anybody outside of this city is going to feel bad for them. And is the NFLPA going to go to bat for them? Like, this is one of those where, like, he can be correct, but at the same time, like, I kind of just like, it's kind of the way the game works, right? The only argument this year is just that, hey, you're playing 3 games in 10 days. And so, hey, the Chiefs, the Steelers, these other teams that are in the Texans, I guess, Chiefs and Steelers in particular, that are playing this late, this many games late in the season, I should say, in a short period of time, that they should have a later bye week. I think that is something the league should look at. But somebody's got to have a week 5 or week 6 bye. Like, just the way the schedule for TV purposes, we know there somebody's going to do that. And in this case, yeah, would it be better for the Chiefs to have had a week 10 bye instead of week 6? Of course. I just don't know if in a one-off year like this, that is going to be something that the league is going to take into account. Like, would it have been a nice thing for them to have done for them? Sure. The Chiefs are going to be in all these prime slots. We know that's not changing. They're going to be on Christmases, or I'll get to it in a second. I think they're due for a Thanksgiving game. They're going to be on Saturdays, and they're playing every day of the week possible that the league allows, except for Tuesday, because there's no games on Tuesday this year. They're playing on every other day, I believe, right, of the week, I think, in 2024. And
yeah,
that is the reality of where they're at. Would it be nice if the league threw him a bone? Sure. But you know how ridiculous that probably sounds to anybody outside of this city? Like, nobody wants to hear that.
The league's in favor of the Chiefs now all of a sudden, if that were to happen.
Yeah.
Like, they got to give him a week 12 bye, of course.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, nothing that Chris Jones is saying I actually, like, disagree with. He has a point. I just think it's like people probably outside of Kansas City would say, like, cry me a river kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to have sympathy for them on that. But if I was a player, I'd be saying the same thing. Like, if I was Chris Jones, I'd be saying, well, shoot, I don't need a break in week 5 or 6. Give me that break in week 12. Could you imagine if their bye was week 14? And we were saying, man, they get a bye right now before the stretch of games, 3 and 10 days.
While they've also been struggling a little bit, give them another week.
It'd be amazing. Hell, there'd be people out there saying the league rigged it for the Chiefs.
That's fine.
You know what I mean? You. Like, so there, it's a lose-lose for the league. I mean, he can go to the NFLPA. I don't know if anything's changing. Like, next year, I don't know how they, is the schedule maker, how they can balance it out. Like, should the Chiefs have a week 5 or week 6 bye next year? No, I'll be like, what the heck? They should get a later bye next year. And overall, we had a topic on this earlier. I don't have it in front of me. We did this topic, not to Chris Jones's audio, of course, but where we were looking at over the last couple of years, the average bye week for the Chiefs. And it's been, their bye week has been kind of the average. Like, they've had a couple where this is the earliest bye week they've had in the last, I think, 7 years. And it just so happens to be in a year in which they're trying to three-peat and which they're playing 3 games in 10 days late in the year. It's bad timing. It's not ideal. But overall, I think their bye weeks have been, in generally, right around where everybody else's have been. But you know, this year, Buffalo having a week 14 bye is very nice.
It is convenient for Buffalo to have it. I do think, you know, the argument of, well, we played so many games, the NFL doesn't care. You know, that's what happens when you win playoff game, when you win Super Bowls. Like, that's just part of the deal. You already know that. It's the 3 games in the 10 days thing where I think there is a point to be made to that effect.
Sure.
I wonder where the other teams that play 3 games in 10 days or 3 games in 11 days. Right. I believe the Bengals do, and the Bengals just recently had their bye.
Okay. The question is, when are the Steelers? That's the one. Steelers, when do they have their 2024 bye week? Let's see.
Because I think that they're, I wonder how many other teams are playing. I don't think the Bengals play 3-10.
Steelers bye was week 9, so it was better. Week 9 would be better than week 6 compared to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs had an early bye this year.
Week 6 is the earliest? Or is it the week 5 bye is the earliest?
I think there's one week ahead of it. They could have had one earlier, but their bye was week 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't there a way, though? So right now, we have byes in from week 5 to week like 14. Is there any way that we can, I know they wouldn't do like the, like when we talked about them going to 18 games, doing like a mandatory off week for every team.
Like yeah, week, talk,
they want to do that now, but I wonder if there's a possibility to shrink the window of bye weeks where, okay, we're not week 5. The first team doesn't get their bye week until week 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And then the latest they can go is like week 12. So you find a way to fit in between weeks 8 and 12, everybody's bye week.
Yeah. The thought, what you're alluding to, is that if they start playing more international games and they expand the schedule too, that everybody would get the double bye. And that, of course, alleviates some of this. I just think it's just, call it bad luck, whatever. I mean, now, if the Chiefs next year also have to play 3 in 10 or 11 days and they have another week 5 or 6 bye, okay, well, then I think you can start complaining. You're like, what the hell is going on? If you're going to put us on all these weekends and every day of the week possible, you do need to alter the bye week. That's fair. This is a one-off year is how I'm viewing it. Maybe not a one-off that they're going to be playing on Christmas. That might continue to happen every year. But the bye week next year, watch them have a week 10 or 11 bye. I'd be surprised if they give them a week 5 or 6 bye again.
Yeah, you would think that they wouldn't do that again.
All TV purposes. I mean, it's the bye week too. They can't put 19. You know, they can't put 10 teams on a bye in one given week and just knock them all out early. That's just not what they're going to do for TV.
So somebody brought up the, how about everybody get the middle of the season break in November? Like every sport theoretically has that All-Star break where they get that time off. NFL doesn't have that. They have the bye week, but it's individual for every team.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, and to the point of, you know, if they go to 18 games, you have 2 bye weeks. Where week 4 or 5, week 5, everybody gets a bye. Week 13, everybody gets a bye, and nobody plays on those weeks for TV money. TV's not going to do that.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
I just wonder if there's a way to fit. Maybe it's like not necessarily like a moratorium period, but it's like a Sunday where all the AFC teams get off, and then the next week all the NFC teams get off, and then later in the season you do a that might be the way to do it. If you do double buys, where you still get games, but it's like an AFC feature weekend, and then it's an NFC. I don't know. That might be me. That might be my MLB take of, hey, you don't need to ruin the game at all whatsoever. I don't think it ruins the game, but I think it's an interesting conversation. But it goes back, like you said, to the TV money, and they're not going to take an off week of the NFL.
913-586-7965, Jay Southland, toast of his text line. Someone from the 913 says, Gold, it's not just 3 games in 10 days. We had 2 different scenarios this year where we had 3 games in 12 days, 3 games in 10 days. If you look at the schedule, there should have been a bye in between Thanksgiving and Christmas week. That's what I'm saying. Chris Jones's point about how the schedule is laid out, I don't disagree with. I'm just saying that I view it as a one-off. It's a problem if it happens again next year. But this is truly a Kansas City problem. I'm just trying to, I know we're in Kansas City, but I'm trying to put the shoe on the other foot. Like, imagine if I played you audio of a Bills player complaining about this. We'd all be like, stop your whining. Like, I'm just trying to be realistic about it. That's all I'm saying. Like, if I'm Chris Jones, I get it. If I'm a football player, there's no reason to have a bye in week 5 or 6. Like, you don't need it. Somebody has to have it, though. You would like to think, given the way the schedule's laid out for Kansas City, whether it's the Christmas Day's games, or as the texter just pointed out, there was another stretch that they've gone through where it's a short period of time of games. Yeah, you would like for them to appease you. Somebody's going to get screwed in the schedule making process. The Chiefs have been screwed this year in terms of the bye week. That's true. Let's see if it happens next year. If it does, then I think a broader conversation needs to happen. Why is this occurring? You need to make a tweak. But it's a one-off thing for me personally, the way I look at it. And it's unfortunate the way it worked out. Fortunately, this team is 11-1 despite it. And that's why it's exciting that they're starting to get some guys back. And normally this is when you're starting to get less healthy. The Chiefs are the opposite right now. Even without a late bye, they're getting healthier. They just got Pacheco back. They just got a Menigue back. They're going to get Hollywood Brown back on Christmas, it looks like. Who am I missing? It's not really a health thing, but they're bringing, you know, we think they have a new left tackle beginning Sunday night in DJ Humphries. They're getting healthier versus the Harrison Butker's the other player. Like, gosh, we're down there, a third kicker for crying out loud. Like, they're getting healthier at the right time of the season, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it's almost fit out in a way for them to get upgrades, like with Pacheco obviously coming back and then Hollywood Brown coming back, right in time for them to be able to make that playoff push. And in the end, I don't think the bye week conversation is, because I think we've had the bye week conversation come up a couple of times, mm-hmm. just not necessarily with the Chiefs, obviously, but across the league. Like Joe Burrow had the idea of doing the double byes if they go to 18 games. Chris Jones is talking about it now. We've talked about bye weeks previously and how they're situated and everything like that. It's been more of a talking point, but I don't think it's nothing that is derailing them essentially from a trip to go to Super Bowl again and three-peat. It's not killing their chances, or it's not influencing their chances like that.
Well, we'll see, right? I mean, like someone on the text line says, the idea that Chris is trying to get across, if you're planning to have a team play a congested schedule like the Chiefs are doing, they need to have a late bye. Oh, I know. I mean, that's
it wasn't necessarily complaining as much as it was like, that's why he said, like, during the summer, I'm going to the NFLPA. Like, this is something we should have going forward.
I know the point Chris Jones is trying to get across. I'm just saying that I'm viewing it as a one-off. He has a point. We'll see if it continues. If the Chiefs are going to keep being in this spot schedule-wise, and they're not going to take care of the teams that are doing it, then it's a problem. I just think sometimes it happens one time. It's a scheduling quirk, right? They plug it into a computer. Should they have a rule that ensures it? Sure, but it's a one-off. And all I'm saying is, if this is going to happen for another team, if I played you audio of another player, you guys would all be saying that player's complaining and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, if Jamar Chase was talking about the bye week and everything like that, I promise
we would definitely be making fun of Jamar Chase, because Jamar Chase is sometimes clueless when he talks to the media. Multiple times.
I had to use the most extreme example.
Anyway, let's talk about this team in particular, away from the bye week stuff for a little bit. I'll ask Nate Taylor about it. Maybe he's hearing that. Maybe he thinks there's some change on the horizon. Not really disagreeing with what Chris Jones had to say. The biggest concern, briefly in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday, we got into this. We didn't have a deeper discussion. We all know the two obvious concerns, secondary and left tackle. What's actually the biggest, though, for you? Because it's the secondary for me, and that is admitting that we're putting a ton of stock into DJ Humphreys coming back from an injury and starting at left tackle. It's going to be an upgrade. I don't think he's going to suddenly be an all-pro level left tackle again, but it's an upgrade at left tackle, and I think it's going to happen on Sunday night based on what Andy said yesterday. But secondary is absolutely my biggest concern. That's the one area where they don't have the true fix. Joshua Williams is a better option than Nazi Johnson, but we've also seen Joshua Williams fail. Did I say Joshua Johnson? Joshua Williams fail. We've seen that before. So that's why, to me, it's the secondary. I think the pass rush is not my biggest concern, because I believe Charles Omenihu, we already saw a glimpse of it on Friday, on the Black Friday game, and what it meant for Chris Jones. And I don't say left tackle just because I think they are going to get better play at left tackle, which hopefully leads to more time for Xavier Worthy down the field, for other guys down the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is the secondary as well. I think it's just an interesting conversation when you're looking at you want to say it's the left tackle, I think, because position-wise, left tackle is a top three most important position in the game, and it's been dreadfully bad multiple times. But also, in terms of them, I think, to be honest, I think them winning the Super Bowl has more to do with the defense than it does with the left tackle position. Because they've been we've seen the defense get progressively, not worse necessarily, but we've seen them get beat.
Yeah, they're not playing as good now as they were in week 3 or 4. That's
true. They've been getting beat on a more regular basis here over the last 4 or 5 weeks, where not that you can't rely on them, because again, they make the nice play for fortune in their case, I think, in this instance again, but it's been some fortune in the last 5 weeks or so. Left tackle, they've been able to move the ball on offense. Like, Patrick Mahomes is still having really solid games amidst the left tackle atrocity that they've had at this point. So DJ Humphreys being an upgrade now, I think you and I are both in the same frame of mind of that's going to be fine. As long as DJ Humphreys is healthy, he's going to be serviceable enough, because we know how good he is. Wanya Morris is never going to be at the level of DJ Humphreys was when he was fully healthy and all that other stuff. Kingsley, we don't know yet, but this year certainly not going to be at that level. They'll be fine on offense. I'd be more worried about the secondary and Joshua Williams, because as you mentioned, he was better on Sunday. He's also had moments where he's looked flat, and that's something, along with the the Nick Bolton coverage thing against tight ends, along with Justin Reed sometimes just getting beaten. As good of a player as he is, there's moments where his age is kind of showing at times.
I think, too, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong on the text line, I think some of the belief and where I'm at, too, is that, hey, the bigger concern is the defense, because we all saw last year on the playoffs, everything changed. And that's what's so weird about when we have these conversations. Like, we all know that playoffs are just different for this team. And that's my whole point about why nobody should be panicking. Is like, they're just different in the playoffs. But part of my feeling that why the secondary is the biggest concern is because we did just see this team win a Super Bowl in large part because the defense was dominant. And we all know that this defense is not dominant right now. And I don't think they're going to get back to a dominant level. But do they have to? If the offense can get improved left tackle play and the offense can go from, I think they're 11th in points per game right now, if they can suddenly get into the top eight, which is not far off, it doesn't take much. It really doesn't if you look at the points per game stuff. If the offense gets to eighth and the defense isn't dominant, but they, I don't know where they are officially in points per game defensively, I haven't looked, admittedly. If they can get to a top 10 again, not top three like they were, but if you have two top 10 units, they don't right now, but if they get to that by playoff time or in the playoffs, then that's all. Like, that's good enough, in my opinion, to get back to a Super Bowl. But if the defense is playing like an 18th to 20th defense and the offense is only 11th, then yeah, that's the formula where they're getting bounced before the Super Bowl, before the AFC title game.
Yeah, I just, to me, if you're in a moment like where you, like if you're playing, and maybe it's like the matchup that they have, maybe a certain spot matters more. Like maybe if you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers and you got to go up against Cam Hayward and TJ Watt.
Sure.
And maybe the left tackle spot matters a little bit more in that one than the defense would against Russell Wilson. I don't know if that's a fair way to look at it, where if you're facing Josh Allen, the defense, you better make sure the secondary right. is good to go. Or if you're facing Lamar Jackson, you got to make sure the secondary is good to go.
It's more likely they're playing Buffalo when it matters the most than it is Pittsburgh when it matters the most. Right? I mean, I know they could technically play in the divisional round Pittsburgh, but we all are like probably under the thought, right? We agree that most likely we all think it's the Chiefs-Bills AFC title game again.
I think that's why, in terms to me, I think the defense matters more in terms of winning the Super Bowl. If you play the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl, you have to have a good set. They have to be on their P's and Q's defensively. Otherwise, that offense is going to have a really good time. I just think that for them to win, and I know that it's different than, so somebody mentioned the year that they lost the Super Bowl,
they were down to their backup tackles on both sides.
They it was the entire line that was the problem. It wasn't necessarily the defense. It wasn't just one spot in particular that wasn't upgraded.
And
by
they were winning with offense all year that year. That was not a year in which it was the defense. You know what I mean? That was a little bit of the difference. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the bye week stuff, but I didn't get to this yesterday, but it was a thought I had when I was watching games on Thanksgiving over the holiday. And it's that the Chiefs are due for Thanksgiving next year. Right? It seems like this is the next thing, going back to how they're on all these prime slots and they're on Christmas and everything. The Chiefs, it was a big deal when the Chiefs were the first ever Thanksgiving night game. You guys remember that. It was against the Denver Broncos at Arrowhead, right? It was something that the Hunt family had wanted and Lamar Hunt had wanted for many, many years. The Chiefs Thursday night game, that was all the way back in 2006. That was the last time the Chiefs were on Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. And that lines up, in my opinion, for them to now be in a Thanksgiving slot again. And you look at the Chiefs' schedule next year, they play at Dallas. Now, maybe the NFL just says, hey, we're doing a big number ratings-wise. It's Thanksgiving. Dallas can play the freaking Giants again, and people will watch no matter what. Maybe. But can you imagine if they have an opportunity next year, based on the schedule, like it's there, the Chiefs play at Dallas next year. They could put the Chiefs at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And the Chiefs haven't been on Thanksgiving since 06, and we know they're putting them on Black Friday, and they're putting them on Christmas. Like, it sure seems like next year's Thanksgiving, unless they want to save that one and like, hey, we want Chiefs at Cowboys to open the season. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, I guess, never mind, take that back. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl, they would be at home. They want the Chiefs for another Sunday night football game, you know? That's the only thing. Otherwise, it sure seems like they're due for a Thanksgiving game, and I'll be honest, I hate it, because I like to casually watch the Thanksgiving game, sit back with the family, just eat and not be stressed and not be working. I would rather them not play, but I feel like they're due, aren't they?
I think they are due because of the exact reason that you said of They are the main attraction. They are the golden nugget. They are what is essentially their marketing arm, I guess, really is, hey, it's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs. Come and see the Chiefs. The Chiefs are on tour this year. Come and see the Chiefs play. They're going to be in LA. They're going to be in Cincinnati. They're going to be in this place. They're going to be in that. Like, come and see the Chiefs play. Like, they're... It makes too much sense almost for them to not be on Thanksgiving, given that they're going to have this matchup. That would be the 2:30 matchup, right? Or the 3 o'clock window, correct? I don't think they put it anywhere else. Traditionally, the Lions are at noon, the noon game, and then the
Cowboys usually, are always. It depends, like, on the TV afternoon networks what they count as their marquee. Usually, you know, Fox, CBS, and NBC each get a game on Thanksgiving.
It's the Cowboys. It would have to be Fox, wouldn't it? You would think that it would be the Brady game.
Usually it's Fox. The Cowboys game is usually on Fox on Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I'm just saying, don't be surprised next year if it's Chiefs at Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
You don't like it, though.
It's been since 2006. They put them in every other slot since 2006.
You don't want to be eating your mashed potatoes and mac and cheese and casseroles and all and apple pie, having to stress it out.
I'm not a casserole guy, man. I didn't have that on the plate this year.
I didn't have a casserole either. I didn't know.
Man, I was just happy. White and dark meat turkey, some mashed potatoes, a little bit of mac, and then like this corn. I guess I kind of had like a corn casserole thing, baked casserole thing. What's that?
Do you like a white or dark meat?
I prefer dark meat, but I'll eat if the turkey's done right. I can get by with eating some of the white meat, but I definitely prefer the dark meat is 1,000 times better.
Thanks.
But if the turkey's done right, the white meat's not dry and stuff. No problem with the white meat, but yeah, I mean the dark meat. Come on now.
Let me tell you though, you were not here for this, but we had some fun conversation last week with our guy Josh Briscoe.
Oh, okay.
Regarding turkey, and got to the point where we were talking about casseroles as well, and Briscoe said green bean casserole is the number one side, to which Cody said,
how white are you?
That sounds about right. That sounds
and,
about right.
And Briscoe said the pastiest kind. Fair enough. Respect it. If you're all in,
someone
on the
text line says, how do you know we're at Dallas next year? Because you can, that is set in advance. You can already check.
You don't know the days yet.
Yeah. Like, I can tell you, like, the Chiefs, because remember, they rotate divisions and we just know. So, they play at Dallas next year. They play at Jacksonville next year. I don't know when. Or remember, there's a chance the game's international, the home games. There's a chance one of those becomes a game in Germany next year. But like they play the NFC East next year. So the Chiefs are hosting the Eagles and the Commanders next year. I guess there's a chance it's in Germany or something. But yeah, you can already see the whole schedule for next year.
You guys might be playing a rookie quarterback again.
Yeah,
in that
the Chiefs
division.
Play at Tennessee next year, at the Giants, home to the Commanders, home to the Eagles, home to the Colts, home to the Texans, home to the, of course, the divisional teams, at Jacksonville, at Dallas, and then maybe there's a shift.
I like that. The rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago, you get Jaden Daniels against Mahomes, and then the Giants conceivably take Cam Ward probably because Shador's not going to be allowed to go there. And
we'll see in the offseason, man.
Yeah.
Up next, let's get to what's trending and then talk more about where the AFC is at this point, including one team that maybe we have to pay a little more attention to.